Last year, the O.J. Simpson murder trial and its verdict focused the country's attention once again on matters of race. Like the case of the L.A. police officers charged with the beating of Rodney King, the Simpson trial revealed the continuing racial divide in this country, as blacks and whites differed widely on whether justice had indeed been served. Many people believe the racial tensions that were brought out by those trials have not diminished. Yet, as NPR's David Mopus reports, race relations have barely been mentioned in this year's presidential campaign.
In the eyes of many citizens, black and white, race remains the defining issue of American society and politics, even when the politicians treat it as the invisible issue.
They're all playing the race card in various ways.
That's Chuck Stone, former editor of three of the nation's largest black newspapers in New York, Chicago, and Washington. Now he's a journalism professor at the University of North Carolina. Both major party candidates are playing subtle race cards, Stone says, by what they don't say. He cites the rhetoric on crime as one example. President Clinton dwells on his efforts to put 100,000 more police on the streets, while Dole stresses his get-tough-on-drugs policy. But neither candidate, Stone says, addresses such issues as police brutality, the high proportion of blacks on death row, or why the drug problem is so prevalent in inner-city neighborhoods.
You cannot distribute narcotics in any community without police cooperation, and then many police forces in America are corrupt. That's how it survives. Number two, the criminal justice system weighs heavily against blacks. I keep returning to the term disproportionality. For example, 65% of the prosecutions in narcotics are blacks, and yet whites are the majority of the cocaine and crack users.
Chuck Stone praises Mr. Clinton's record for appointing more women and minorities to top government positions than any previous president. On the surface, Stone says, a lot looks good about Mr. Clinton, but he adds that down deep, little has been done to address the problems of African Americans.
People talk about Dole and Clinton as the lesser of two evils, and I said, no, it's the evil of two lessers.
Stone and other critics of the silence on race point to welfare reform as another indicator of deep racial divisions. Polls show that African Americans are angry about the changes enacted this year. 31 out of 34 members of the Congressional Black Caucus voted against the welfare bill. Yet most whites support the new limits on welfare, and President Clinton signed the bill. David Bosidas, a senior analyst at a research group that specializes in issues affecting minorities, sees Mr. Clinton's action as part of a wider strategy sending underlying racial signals.
Bill Clinton's signing the welfare reform bill was to some degree a continuation of his political posture of showing that he is independent of the Democratic base, in particular African Americans. He and his political people think that he needed that to show that he was really genuine in being a new Democrat.
Bob Dole, meanwhile, has been struggling to convince African Americans that he is a new Republican when it comes to race. As a senator, Dole has supported civil rights and voting rights legislation since the 1960s, when many Republicans opposed it. He was a co-sponsor of legislation honoring Martin Luther King with a federal holiday. He picked Jack Kemp, a self-described bleeding-heart conservative, as his running mate, and until recently he supported federal affirmative action programs. Again, David Bosidas of the Joint Center for Political and Economic Studies.
Ironically, this is probably the best Republican ticket in recent memory on matters affecting race and the African-American community. Bob Dole has a very good civil rights record. Jack Kemp is very well known for his genuine concern for African-Americans and for people living in urban areas and who are poor generally.
Running behind in voter-rich California, Dole and Kemp have taken a turn on affirmative action, coming out strongly in favor of the California Civil Rights Initiative. The proposal would end all state-sponsored racial preferences in California and is popular with most voters. However, it's expected to hurt Dole's chances with minorities. David Bosidas says Dole is also running with a millstone around his neck in the form of Newt Gingrich and the 104th Republican Congress. Bosidas says Dole and Kemp's overtures to the black community are largely being ignored. That's the same assessment voiced this past weekend at what was billed as an emergency conference on racism held in Columbia, South Carolina. Civil rights activists, church leaders, and white sympathizers from around the state gathered to talk about racial hatred, Southern church burnings, continuing discrimination, and black joblessness that's at least five times that of whites. The Reverend Joe Darby of Eastover, South Carolina, one of the conference speakers, says Mr. Clinton is avoiding serious discussion of these issues. That's bothersome, Darby says, but understandable given the country's conservative mood.
I think President Clinton is very politically astute in that I think he's trying to broaden his appeal to, in some ways, be all things to all people.
While it may be sober, pragmatic politics to keep racial issues as muted as possible, some at the conference do long for more forthright advocacy for policies such as affirmative action. Here's Jan Love, a conference delegate from the Methodist Church in Columbia.
I'm delighted that President Clinton is defending affirmative action, but I would be so much more thrilled if he would step out further. He's got such a remarkable lead. Why doesn't he use that lead as an opportunity to take some risks towards genuine leadership for racial justice in this country?
With fewer than 300 people attending the conference, some other South Carolinians quipped that maybe racism isn't such an emergency after all. Ed McMullen, president of a conservative think tank in the state, says people are tired of all the talk about race, and it's just as well that the presidential candidates are addressing the problems more broadly.
We don't need to go out and hold conferences and marches and do what really has little effect substantively on the lives of people. I think we need more organizations like Habitat for Humanity, more community involvement. These are problems that will be solved locally and in the states. They're not problems that will be solved by the president or the federal government. Never have been, never will be.
Another perspective comes from Fred Lynch, author of several books on affirmative action and racial diversity. Presidential candidates could help move the national dialogue on affirmative action, Lynch says, to include other variables that shape us as individuals, such as social and economic class. Staying with the current narrow approach to remedying discrimination, he says, will continue racial stereotyping and resentments. But Lynch, a professor at Claremont McKenna College in California, says he's not holding his breath for bold political leadership.
Both the executive branch and to some extent the legislative branch, too, I think they are deferring. They're passing the hot potato, really, to the courts and to popular referendums. The sort of parallel issue is immigration, is that nobody is really touching that one either. And I think they're just hoping that this can be solved either behind the scenes or that the courts will step in or that, again, someone else will deal with this.
Debate on affirmative action and other racial issues will continue despite the politicians' silence, Lynch says, because people in the middle, those most affected by the programs, will continue to make it an issue through populist vehicles of referenda and talk radio. On one point, there is broad agreement. Honest talk about race remains one of the most difficult endeavors at the political and personal levels. As one analyst says, it demands a lot of soul-searching, and most of us rarely volunteer for that. Reporting from Chapel Hill, North Carolina, I'm David Malpas.